Historian David McCulloch, in his 1776 book, wrote this. The year 1776, celebrated as the birth of our nation and for the signing of the Declaration of Independence, was for those who carried the fight for independence forward a year of all too few victories, a year of sustained suffering, a year of disease, a year of hunger and desertion, cowardice, disillusionment, defeat. This is the birth of our nation. Terrible discouragement, fear, and they would never forget. But 1776 was also a year of phenomenal courage, bedrock devotion to country, and that too would never be forgotten. McCulloch ends his book about our nation's beginning with these words: especially for those who had been with General George Washington and who knew what a close call it was at the beginning of the war, the outcome seemed a miracle. Have we forgotten? Have the citizens of these United States forgotten the miracle which is this nation? Have we forgotten the suffering and the sacrifices of founding mothers and fathers? Have we forgotten phenomenal courage? Courage that won for us freedom and independence. Have we forgotten bedrock devotion, not to me and my group, but to country? We've sectioned our nation into tribal subcultures with cannibalistic cravings. The Apostle Paul in Galatians says, be careful, church, that you don't devour yourselves. The United States is joined together through history, but it will only hold together with courage and conviction and sacrifice and bedrock devotion to country. Maybe you saw the article yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. I tried to look at the Saturday edition. It was written by Amanda Ripley, who works for the Emerson Collective, and it was titled, America, Meet America. How can we get past today's toxic partisanship and political segregation? She's got a great beginning to her article. Listen to this. We Americans have a new enemy. It is ourselves. Half of the Democrats and half of the Republicans now see people of opposing parties not just as poorly informed, but actually frightening. Why do we hate each other so much? She asks. Then she answers, well, one reason is we're segregated. We no longer live with people who are very different from us, and it's easier to hate people you don't know. If you've been in the homes of people, if you've shared stories with people, if you've shared meals with people, you won't demonize them. Ah, but there's reason to hope, says Ripley. She says we are inextricably intertwined. I love SAT words like that. Inextricably intertwined. America can be made whole again, she says. And the 4th of July is a calling for us to come across backyards and be together and get reacquainted over our cookouts. And remember that you and I share more than a love for grilled foods and a love for fireworks. We share a belief to the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that unites us. We had a great mission trip to Charlotte last week. Did you hear? A few of us took some middle schoolers to the Queen City and had a fantastic time. We laughed together. We served together. We ate together. We sang together. We prayed together. We traveled together. We slept on the floor together. These bones are just reaching the point of saying, I'll be at the nearby Best Western and meet you at the work site. Alas, your middle school youth are fantastic people. If you don't know them, get to know them. They're in your church. They're fantastic people. And Not to take away from the high schoolers, but they're just not as strong as the middle schoolers. Well, I can't say that. The high schoolers went to Peru and apparently did much the same thing. I just wasn't a part of that. The high schoolers, if you don't know, they're going to share their mission trip experience to Peru with slides, with a meal, Mary Margaret. You're going to do a meal too? I'm looking at you. Do you know? There's a bulletin announcement about it. Who knows? It's slides, it's stories, and Lisa, a meal. Okay, a potluck supper. And so there's really no value in them to get together and look at their own slides. This is to share with you. Get to know those kids. They grow up way too fast. They keep us young. They're a great joy. Our youth ministry leaders and the parents are fantastic. We went and stayed at Myers Park Presbyterian Church, which was our host for the week. And do you know who the pastor is there? Reverend Joe Clifford, who was the pastor here. He then went to First Dallas and served a number of years and is now in Charlotte. Our youth in Charlotte crossed over all kinds of boundaries and barriers to serve others. They were kind of like the Good Samaritan in Jesus' parable. You know, the Samaritan who crosses over religious barriers and boundaries of his day in order to show compassion and mercy to somebody. Somebody who, by the way, even the righteous people of the day would not go near. We played bingo with women who were African American, low income, and a whole lot older than we were. We all wanted the Cheez-Its as prizes. We crossed over divisions of age, economics, and race. We served in one of this country's most successful drug and rehab programs for men called the Charlotte Rescue Mission. I would commend it to anybody struggling with addiction who's a man. We cooked them lunch. We served them lunch. We ate lunch with them and found them to be welcoming and kind. We played volleyball with them and we tried to win, but had a great time. Those kids, your middle schoolers, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, they crossed over divides of addiction and gender and fear. We played games and did crafts with children in community centers. It's awkward. You got a community center of Center City Charlotte children, and you've got Alpharetta people coming from the bubble. And you meet each other in a gym, maybe a Boys and Girls Club of Charlotte. Do you sense the fear, the tension, the difference? Within 2 minutes, we were playing dodgeball, and we were one. Well, we were two teams trying to annihilate the other. We cleared the backyard brush and weeds of a woman who is low income and has health troubles. We sorted clothing at the Crisis Assistance Center in Charlotte, where clients were waiting outside for those doors to the store to open so they could clothe their families with beautiful free clothing that we were sorting and hanging on the racks. I'm telling you, your 12-year-olds knocked down walls of division and separation of all kinds. They didn't see the world as us and them, haves and have-nots, healthy and sick, clothed and naked. The gospel had us be one. For me, one of the most poignant moments is when we had communion. We're going to have communion today. Communion makes us one. There is no difference in division at the table. All eat together. Your kids passed around the bread and then the cup, the bread of the body of Christ, the cup of salvation. They never spilled once. And they made sure everybody was fed. Joe and Jennifer Clifford were there, the host pastor and his wife, and they were sitting outside the circle because their age is similar to mine and their knees don't sit crisscross anymore on the floor, I'm assuming. And I could see what was going to happen. These kids were going to skip the two most important people in the room. The people that were hosting us. But they didn't. The kids got up from the floor and walked over and made sure Joe was served. And then Joe served his wife and then back to the kids. Everybody's included. And then the prayer at the end of communion, has everyone been served? Have we missed anybody? This is how the church operates. It's welcome. It's inclusion. It's service to all. Nothing breaks down barriers like the love of God. Nothing. We are one. We're different. We have diversity and we have different parts. We all function as a part of the whole. But in Christ, as the great hymn says, there's no south or north, east or west. There's one fellowship, and it's a fellowship of love. Americans, if you know your history, Americans know that we are joined together as a people who strive to be indivisible. That means not easily divided or torn apart. And we're committed to liberty and justice for all people. I wonder if we have forgotten all that unites us. I wonder if we have allowed differences to paralyze or define us. I wonder if somehow we have started to treat poorly those who see things differently than us. Has rhetoric, especially online rhetoric, gotten so mean? Has civility diminished to the point that we no longer see our neighbors as brothers and sisters, but as enemy and as opponent? I don't know where people are learning that stuff from, but it's not from Jesus Christ. Because Christ is the one who says, knock down that wall of separation, bring the two and make them one. Reconcile. Across the backyard, at work or school, volunteer your time in the community, share, get to know, and watch division dissolve. One of the members of the Myers Park church family was hosting us in their home, and I like the kettle corn the best, but they also served us hot dogs and sweet tea and potato salad and potato chips and hamburgers and popsicles. And it just kept coming, you know, one of those meals. And in the backyard, as the kids were playing soccer and ping pong, I saw in the back two other houses, and it housed, I think they said, 15,000 bees per hive. The honey's in the top two, and the bees are in the bottom three, and I have an EpiPen in my pocket, so I got nowhere near them. But they were telling me an interesting thing about bees. And the individual bee lives for the well-being and the future of the hive. It's easy to get lost in self-interest. Much harder to build up the good of the whole with courage and devotion and sacrifice. One Charlotte man was telling our youth about his recovery from addiction and from violence to a life of sobriety and peace. And he said, the difference in my life started when I stopped thinking in terms of I and started seeing the world in terms of we. This 4th of July, give the country, give the church, give the world a great and timely gift. Stop the bitterness of division, drop the grudge, and commit yourself to crossing over so you can build relationships. My heart is still full from all that I experienced last week. A homeless man named Dover, who sat on the back porch of a ministry that allowed him to recoup and receive chemotherapy for his cancer. And in between cigarettes, our kids brought him lemonade and cookies, and he taught them how to play spades. A gift that will keep on giving, I told those kids. I remember the APC youth giving out bottles in Uptown Charlotte, they call it, to a group of homeless people. And one of the women yelled back to them, thank God for you. I love you people. Thanks for what you're doing. Or one of our children passing to one of the youth from First Scots Presbyterian in Charleston, the bread and the cup, and saying, Christ's body, Christ's blood for you. You know that German Chancellor Helmut Kohl died at the age of 87 last week. And many of us remember Helmut Kohl is the one who was chancellor when the dividing wall of Berlin went down and East and West reunited. He also was very much a part of foreseeing a European Union and introducing a euro. And the whole goal there was to say this continent, which has suffered war and bloodshed century after century after century after century, just might be able to seize peace. It's possible. A continent of war to a continent of peace. Now Europeans try to solve their problems with, like we tell our toddlers, words, not weapons. It is gospel work, reconciliation, peacemaking, tearing down walls of hostility or division or enmity. I think McCulloch is right on the mark when he says America was made free and forged as one people through sacrifice. Now it falls to us to act with courage and sacrifice and devotion for the good of the whole. One seminary professor says of this Ephesians passage, which Susan read for us today, that of the entire New Testament, these few words from Ephesians are the most relevant text in all of Scripture for the world today. God has given the church a message and a ministry of compassion that crosses boundaries and reconciliation that makes of two one. It is a message and a ministry that the community needs, the country needs, the world needs, the church needs, probably now more than ever. That table of grace excludes no one. Come all who are weary. Come all who thirst, says the Lord. So my home church, where my father has gone since he was baptized as an infant, had a visitor come, and the visitor was starting to scare folks because he was just an odd duck. Dad said he was the kind of guy you look at and you think, I'm just not sure what this guy's going to do. Does he have a weapon? Is he going to threaten somebody? Just all of the concern was there, and the members complained to the pastor, what should we do? What should we do? They talked to police. How should we handle this? I said, so Dad, this guy, what did you end up doing about him? He'd say, well, the guy would come in, and everybody was concerned, and he'd sit toward the front of the church. I said, how did that ever resolve? He said, I started sitting next to him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.